Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
And welcome, everyone, to another edition of Crusader Talk. Glad to have you with us on our show today as we are going to be recapping a whole lot of athletics action. A little bit of baseball to start off our show today and a little bit more as we continue on. Hey, softball off to a great start. We teased Coach Fletcher a little bit last episode just talking about how he started off the year at, 5-0, and now he's going to have to battle with Coach English over who's going to have the longer winning streak. Well, that streak continues through two weekends of action. But Josh is with me as well, and Coach Halford is going to join us on the line to get us started. And, yeah, Josh, I'll bring you in first of all just to kind of give us a quick recap. What did you see on the hardwood as William Carey had a fun little Coach Tracy English day as they took on Talladega?
Yeah, it was really good to be able to honor Coach English. That event really grew. It was going to be. I really didn't know the details, but I've heard now, looking back on it, that you ended up having about 6 or 8 people that shared their sentiments from his Hattiesburg High School high jumping days to Coach Garriga to Ben Burnett to Coach Knight, and just everybody that spoke, the director, head of the MARC from the Southern States Athletic Conference. So you had a lot of great words that were said. And then you also had the autograph ceremony, the ceremony, if you will. They had the tables and chairs, and something that Carey is going to start doing moving forward is we're just going to celebrate our championships more, not take them for granted. And so we had the autograph pictures with the Southern States Athletic Conference logo, if you will, and they were able to autograph those. And so that was great for the young fans, great for the fans, great for the players to be able to be celebrated in that way. So it just brought it all full circle. So yeah, it was just a really great day, solid win. All 16 players played a ton of minutes that they needed to. And so it was I hate to use the word tune up, but it was a chance to get a lot of people playing time that put in a lot of work every day. And then now a huge week coming up for women's basketball.
Yeah,
at home against Mobile on Thursday, and then on the road at Loyola to wrap the regular season.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in just a second. That's a big key part of our upcoming week of athletics. Also big, as we mentioned, baseball is in full swing now as Coach Halford joins us on the phone. Coach, another good weekend in winning a series. Hate to drop a final game in such a close fashion, 4-3, the loss in that one, or was it 5-4? All of a sudden lost my place in what I was looking at. No, it was 4-3. But tell us a little about the trip to Tifton, Georgia, and how you got it done winning 2 out of 3.
Well, we played well the first two games. I thought that, we were hitting on all cylinders there for a while. Our first two guys, Andrew Shower and then, of course, Matthew Davis were really good. And Ridley Thomas in the top of the order, him and Eli Collins and Preston Ratliff just basically carried us in those first two games and did a lot of really good things. You know, still a lot of bases, put a lot of pressure on them. But defensively, we've been playing really well all year. We're probably at about a 979 clip or 980 clip. ERA's been really good too, and of course, some of the things that really beat us in the last game is the back of the order went 0-for-12, had 4 strikeouts, and the relief guys that came in didn't get it done. I mean, Bobby McGee was probably the bright spot in in that game, and they had a kid that was really good against us that competed real well, and I think he only got 4 hits. So that's the thing that we've got to get better with. We lost some punch from last year, and it's just it's a new group, and we're starting 4 new people, and it's just kind of finding our way as far as what's our identity. I know that we run really well, we're stealing a lot of bases, we're playing great defense, and when our top 2 or 3 guys are out there, we're really good right now. But down the road, we got to have some more help. We got to have some guys, especially from the bullpen, especially that 4th and 5th starter, and then of course, we got to swing the bats a little bit better. I think that's just the first 4 guys in the order have been carrying us all year, basically.
Yeah, and I saw a changeup in the order as well. You know, Josh Alexander was at the top of the order to start off the year. He gets bumped down to the five spot or a little bit lower, depending on what day it was. Actually ended up in the four spot in the final game. But, you know, when I look back at the recaps of these games against Abraham Baldwin, you know, I'm with you. I'm seeing great pitching performances. You know, Andrew Shiro with that good outing on Friday night. And then followed with that big win for Matthew Davis going the complete seven for Carey. And when it boils down to it,
Connor Wilson had a good start also.
Yes, you
know,
he did.
We just faltered out. You know, we were trying McCord out of the pen, and you know, he had a rough inning, and then Jairo came in, had a good inning, and then gave up a run in the second inning out there that you know proved to be the game winner. And I'm not saying that I thought he threw well too, though. But other than that, we just got to swing the bats better. I think that's the biggest issue that we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, they're going to have to get back with some of these stats from Abraham Baldwin because I think they missed some of y'all's relievers thrown in there. Only relievers I saw on the final box scores were Lissette and McCord, which, as you just pointed out to me, is not the case there. But all in all, you know, I was thinking, and I think a lot of folks out there were worried about, yeah, that game three, and it's always been about pitching. But as you look at those numbers for Wilson, though he gets the loss, he pitched fairly effectively. I mean, if you only give up two runs in your outing, most of the time you think with the Carey teams we've seen out there on the field, the run support's going to come.
Oh,
only four hits in that game is tough.
Yeah. It's hard to win in college baseball with four hits. I mean, you know, and also we didn't walk, and that's another thing. And the biggest thing in that game is we gave nine free passes, in a nine inning ball game, and we basically struck out seven times. So, you know, right now, I mean, this team is not really the team as far as the power hitting and that type thing. Of course, we've hit some home runs, but we're missing a key a component. We're missing DJ Booth. He's got a hand injury. He hasn't played yet. So hopefully we get him back, and that'll really give us some pop and, you know, in the middle of that order. And, of course, Alexander, I mean, you know, he struggled. And, you know, Ridley Thomas last year, I think, started off like 0-28, but we knew he could play, and we just kind of had patience with him. But we have the same record right now as we did a year ago at this juncture. And so we got a really good test, you know, this weekend in conference with the Middle Georgia. I think they're a better club than they were last year, and it's always been a dog fight with them. Of course, we're going to go play a Dillard team on Wednesday on the road that's playing real well. So, you know, everybody, we're getting everybody's best shot, you know. And the other day, they had a really good crowd. That's an up-and-coming college there, you know, and so had a really good crowd. And they were really, in that last game, they saved their number one for that last game. So what does that tell you? You know, they were trying to salvage the deal. They didn't want to match up with our 1-2. So, and that kid walked one guy. He's walked one guy in two games. So that tells you a little bit about, you know, how competitive he was.
Josh, jump in here for these final 3 minutes.
Yeah, well, Coach, my question to you, when I hear the makeup of where this team is, and I get the secondhand information about how well recruiting has been, and another year that the expectations are high for the program. My thought is, from close but not too close, a little bit of an outsider looking in, is how do you keep these guys loose to not press, because there is depth on the team. You know, guys that are in a spot in the lineup or in a spot in the starting lineup, or you're in that batting order, they don't want to lose that spot. How do you keep them from pressing early on in the season?
Well, you know, the cream always rises to the top. I mean, it always does. You know, and I've been in this business, you know, a long time, and if a kid's sitting over there and he's going to be one of our guys, when he gets his shot, he's going to take it and run with it, and that's just the way it works. And, you know, if you got guys that are failing and failing and failing, I mean, somebody's got to step forward. And like I said, that's the issue that we're dealing with, is just hitting through the lineup right now, and I think that's the biggest thing. And we knew going in that we weren't going to be as proficient offensively, but we're better in other ways. We're better defensively. We're probably better pitching depth. We're much better as far as base stealing. I mean, I think Ridley's like 14 out of 14 or 17 out of 17. He's on a phenomenal pace right now. And we're really able to put pressure on the defense, the other team's defense. But in some games, you're not going to be able to do that. You got to be able to, you know, bang it out a little bit. And we've shown signs of it. But, you know, one of our best hitters is you know, he's hitting about 100. So, I mean, you know, until those guys get going, and it's a long season, and you know that, and you just have to be patient, and you just have to kind of wait it out and just, you know, use guys in the right spot and that type thing, and until everybody starts coming around. But it's like putting a puzzle together. It really is, and every year is the same thing. And I think expectations from a year ago, it's hard to match that. It's hard to match a guy that had 13 saves. It's hard to match the guy that had one of our best hitters ever played, and R.J. Stinson. And then we had Bailey Hendon hit 11 home runs, and we had Jake Lissette right there, 7 or 8 home runs. So it's hard to replace those guys. I mean, I don't think you do, but there's other ways to do it.
Coach, just to put a bow on that one, it was 14 of 14 for Bradley Thomas and 24 of 26 for your team in that stolen base department. By the way, y'all are doing pretty well and getting hit by pitches so far. Through 10 games, 24 of those free passes, good enough for 15th in the nation.
Yeah, you know, and like I said, but I told the team yesterday, you know, going into that third game, we made a couple of moves as far as moving a couple of guys around the lineup, and it basically didn't work offensively. It really didn't. But the first four guys have been carrying us all year. And I just challenged them. I said, hey, some of you other guys got to come through a little bit. You got to come chip in for us a little bit. And just, you know, there's a couple of guys that they'll start getting, you know, more opportunities and that type thing moving forward.
Sounds like a plan, Coach. Well, hey, we look forward to visiting with you again soon. In the meantime, I appreciate you joining us. Go take on Dillard and Middle Georgia for us.
Thank you. Thank you.
That is Coach Bobby Hallford. More to come as Crusader Talk continues.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Hey, we appreciate Coach Hallford joining us there in that first segment of the show as William Carey gets the job done. What was it? Meatloaf once said, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yep. Get off to a pretty decent start to the year. As Carey sits at, what is it, 7-3? I believe it's the overall record right now. 7-3 and 2-1 in conference play. How, it just still is mind-boggling to me that we've already started conference play. And we're going to be right back in the swing of conference play again as we come to the weekend. And, hey, if y'all are thinking about coming out to Milton Wheeler Field, you are going to have this in the back of your head, that a little bit different schedule than normal, as we will have the doubleheader on Friday of the weekend. So the Friday doubleheader will be at 3:00 and 7:00. And then at 1:00 the following day on Saturday, you'll have the final game, 1:00, as William Carey takes on Middle Georgia State. I didn't get a word from Coach on what the reasoning was there, but it is a lot of travel for Middle Georgia State to make their way here from Cochrane. And so that may be part of it, but it's been on that schedule that way for a while. And so it's not weather related, but also have that road game to play Dillard on Wednesday. So they're going to be jam packed in there, a handful of games in a short amount of time.
No, it'll be good. It'll be good for them. They're ready. You know, especially this time of year, especially coming off a loss, to be able to get out there quickly, have a midweek game. Sometimes you'll go without a midweek game. Anytime you're coming off that L, you want to almost have multiple midweek games, honestly, to be able to get as many reps and get back out there. But I'm excited to see what this team, you know, does and how quickly they gel, because certainly the pieces are there. And as we always know with Coach Hallford, and never gets too high, never gets too low. We're the ones that get excited one way or the other, but he's not going to change his tone of voice or the way he goes about it like he has for decades now.
All right, and we are pleased to be joined by Ben Milam, who was back in town on the weekend as William Carey softball hosted couple teams, Georgetown and Stillman, into the Joseph and Nancy Fail Field. And I don't know why I put the word "the" in front of that. The Larry Kennedy Sports Complex, where Joseph and Nancy Fail Field resides. Ben, it was good to have you back in Hattiesburg this weekend. How was it?
Always great to be back and keep Josh's seat warm. And I'll see everybody. It's just, you know, it feels like home every time I come back. So it was fun and got to get a look at Coach Fletcher's softball club, and there's a lot to be excited about there.
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, you can't ask for much better of a start to the year than a 9-0 run at the beginning of the campaign. And, you know, Ben, you saw a couple abbreviated ball games out there at the softball diamond as Carey is able to blank Stillman and Georgetown in that day's action, 8-0 in each. But overall, you know, what stood out to you as far as the different pieces to the puzzle that Kerry has put out there on the field?
I got to talk to Coach Fletcher after those two games, both in run roll wins, five innings, and said, that was football. That was efficient. And he said, yeah, I think those are the two best games that we've played so far, these nine wins. And, you know, one of the things that I noticed first, really towards the tail end of that second game, when they brought in Julia Shaw for her debut as a Sater in the circle, it kind of just, you know, it really just stood out to me of the pitching depth that's there, because obviously Ryan Hornsby is going to be Ryan Hornsby like she's been for now 2+ years as a Crusader. On her junior year, she was really, really good through four innings. And the first start, I think, that had not gone to a complete game because they didn't need it to. Then got to see some of her arms, and then got to see Rihanna Neiman come in and start that second game. And tell you what, she is not far behind Ryan Hornsby in terms of the control he had and the numbers on the year so far. Both of those arms have some ERAs. Then you bring in Julia Shaw. Got to see Ava Roussel make her debut. I didn't even see Kate Schroeder, but I really feel like they've got five really high quality arms that they can bring in high leverage situations. Obviously, we've seen Ryan Hornsby be able to throw a billion innings in a weekend. But this year, you don't really have to stretch her out as much, I don't think. And you've kind of got two aces, feels like. You've got a 1A and a 1B and Hornsby and Neiman. And then you've got Shaw, Roussel, and Schroeder behind those two. And so I think you feel really good. And one of the things that we've talked about, you know, in conference tournament time and opening rounds when we were on the broadcast, is often the big separator, especially at the NAIA level, is who do you have behind your number one, right? Because everyone's going to have one good pitcher at the college level in NAIA. It's about whether or not you feel good about your two. And then if you feel good about your three, your four, and your five, I mean, a long way ahead of everybody. And I think especially if you pair that with what I felt like was a really complete lineup that, again, I think swung the bat as well as they have in this early stretch. It feels like it's a really well-rounded roster.
Yeah, you talk about a girl like Julia Shaw. I mean, already we know about what a great bat she's swinging. Already an average of .538 through nine games, 16 runs driven in, 14 for 26 so far on the year. And now we know that she could do it in the circle as well. This just seems like a team that has a lot of really good pieces that they're throwing out there. And you look also down the lineup card that Lily Robertson has had a good start to the year as well. She's above .500 through nine games. She's started all nine as well. And man, we talk about how pitching depth can become a big factor in a ball club, but also for Kerry, especially compared to last year, hitting was one of those big emphasis points that they were looking to improve on. Did it feel like girls were taking, you know, good solid swings at offerings from the different Stillman and Georgetown pitchers, or were they just able to work their way on because of maybe some lackluster pitching? What kind of more so was the storyline there?
Yeah, you know, I think the pitching is probably going to get better, and I know it will get better. You know, you've got to go see Neil next weekend, I believe, as you begin conference play, and it's immediately going to take a tick up, but at Georgetown, Cummings for Georgetown was, you know, she went eight innings complete against Stillman, gave up just one run. It was unearned. And then she came back against Kerry Saturday, and the Crusaders jumped on her, put three runs on the board in the first inning. And it was a similar story to Stillman. You know, we know them as former SSAC partners, and we know they always going to have some good ones and twos in the circle. And to me, the difference, you know, obviously you don't want to weigh the first 9-10 games too much, but what I saw this weekend and what I've seen keeping up with them in the start of the season and doing game prep before the weekend, I think there's an aggression and, you know, kind of a proactiveness in this lineup that maybe you've been missing a little bit. I think you've got some power potential down the line a long lineup. There's not a lot of holes in there. And you've got pieces like a Julia Shaw, like a Megan Caro, and Albany Fussell that can play a couple of different positions. Layla Clark can play either of the corner outfield spots. Pieces that you can put in different places, not only in the field, in the lineup, based on the matchup, based on the scenario that just every day against pretty much anybody you play, you're going to feel really good offensively. And again, you pair that with pretty good pitching, you're going to be okay.
Certainly seems like it. Josh, what you got?
Ben, I think, just listening to your kind of analysis of the day, you got the benefit of seeing the two dominant games of the weekend. But this was a group that I was impressed, Ben, by their athleticism. Like you mentioned, so many players that can play multiple positions. I feel like that this is a group that is getting more and more athletic, if that's the word that you would best use to describe it. They've just got players that are just softball players that you can stick in a lot of different places.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And you haven't seen it in the home run category yet. I think just one long ball on the season so far. But that's pretty typical of Coach Fletcher team. They're not going to lean on, they're not going to play gorilla ball. But, you've got 17 doubles through nine games. And those players that have that power potential, that have, kind of stacked up the extra base hits, they can also put pressure on you on the base path. I mean, Layla Clark is one of those, had two doubles on the weekend and also had a couple of stolen bases. She's second behind Liz Cross in the stolen base category. She's 5 for 5 on the season. And so you're going to be able to pressure people in a lot of different ways. And a big part of that is that athleticism. That just allows you to do a lot of different things and approach games with a little bit different strategy when it's called upon. You know, when you maybe need, it's a lower scoring game and you've got Ryan Hornsby or Niemann in the circle and you need that one big extra base hit, I think you've got 7, 8, 9 players who can swing the bat and give you that big hit. But you've also got 7, 8, 9 players, I think, that you can stick into that lineup that can manufacture runs and put pressure on opposing teams on the base path. Again, I think the phrase is well-rounded. This feels like a really complete team that Coach Fletcher put together.
Good stuff as always, Ben Milam, and we hope to have you back down in town before too long. Hey, let's both have baseball and softball hosting opening rounds again where we have no choice. How about it?
Let's do it. Sounds good, guys. Always enjoy it.
Thanks, Ben, so much.
Thanks, Ben.
That's Ben Milam. Appreciate him joining us. When we continue, a little talk about basketball when we come back.
Tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, so with Crusader Talk, got a little bit of baseball, a little bit of softball action so far on the podcast, but now we get to turn our attention to the season that is getting closer, ever so closer to the end as we wrap up the regular season here this week. Josh, we alluded to it earlier on in the show, but big week in William Carey basketball coming up as it's only two more games for conference tournament time.
Oh, it's huge. And, obviously when you're looking at, I don't know what's bigger. I mean, when you have an opportunity to finish for the women, for Coach English's group to finish undefeated, to be the first undefeated team since we were looking at those numbers, that was back in the year 2014-2015, so almost a decade now, when Bethel, who finished 32-4 and finished fourth in the country that year, went undefeated. Carey's trying to be the first team since that 14-15 season to do that, and trying to become just the third ever in the Southern States Athletic Conference to go undefeated. And to do that, it's rivalry week during the trimester break. We need everybody out at Clinton Gym. We need a standing room only crowd Thursday night for Hunting the Rams night, camo night. I've been talking to Coach, or rather Dr. Burnett, about we're going to try to round up a band. We're going to try to recruit a band to get some kids that are in the area over trimester break in. We need the rally crew. We need all the kids that stayed around during the break. We need you at Clinton Gymnasium. And then all the alumni, friends, family of William Carey, come and bring a friend for Thursday night, 5:30, 7:30. And then you got to go to the Den. Then you got to go to Loyola, which depending on the year, depending on the sport, it's flip a coin as to which one's bigger. And so you've got Loyola on Saturday. And so we've been talking about what that would mean for the women. The Loyola women just defeated Mobile 75-65. So Loyola women are just creeping up the standings on the women's side. And then on the men's side, if the men handle their business and win two games, if I'm thinking correctly, Caleb, and you've got all these scenarios, we proved all these potential division winning scenarios for William Carey. Carey wins a division, correct?
Yeah, if Carey wins out, they will win the SSAC West and get to play the winner of, oh, I had it right in front of my head a second ago, the East number 4 and West number 5. So the winner of that game will face Carey on Thursday at the multiplex. But yeah, the goal is to win out, obviously. If you win out, you control your own destiny to being that number one seed in the West. If you don't, if you get a win against Mobile but fall to Loyola, in that case, it would kind of depend on how Faulkner does on the week as well. Because right now in the standings, it's Mobile 11-4, and then both Faulkner and Carey at 10-5. If you finish up with the same record as Faulkner or Mobile in the SSAC standings, then you will be the conference's West champion. And the only way that happens is if Carey beats Mobile. Because if Mobile beats Carey and then loses to Faulkner, then they're still sitting at 12-5. Faulkner could be 12-5 as well, but then Faulkner would take over the top spot. But again, if Carey wins out, they win the West. If Carey, Faulkner, and Mobile somehow all end up with the same record at the end, still Carey would have the tiebreaker over those because they'd have the better winning percentage across the board against Mobile and Faulkner. And the reason that all works out is because Mobile and Faulkner play on Saturday. So that's a whole lot of rummaging through tiebreaker scenarios just to say the goal is win out. And if you don't win out, then get a tie at the top of the West and then you win the tiebreaker.
Well, and there's no, let's just say this for the tournament. There is no easy game for Carey in that tournament. No way you can draw it up because you're looking at if Carey is in a situation where they're the three seed, two or three seed in the division, you're opening up with Dalton State, Life, or Middle Georgia. Okay.
Don't want any of those. Dalton, even though you got to win over Life earlier.
Got to win over Life in overtime. Really good game. But then you lose essentially on a buzzer beater to Middle Georgia. And then you also lost in heartbreaking fashion to Dalton. You lose to Thomas. Now, let's say they win the division. Well, then you get the winner of Thomas and Loyola is what it looks like right now. Thomas-Loyola winner. Loyola is coming off a week last week where they beat the two division leaders. They defeated Dalton and they defeated Mobile. So Loyola, they just... credit to their coaching staff, credit to their kids. They felt like it was just a matter of time. In fact, an interesting story. We were actually in Vidalia and we were staying in Vidalia. We had played over at Bruton Parker. We were getting ready to, you know, make the trip the next day and go head over to a different hotel to play Middle Georgia. Well, guess who rolls in? You know, I get back to the hotel. There are already two buses in the parking lot. Both of the Loyola teams are in the same hotel as us. So it felt like a conference tournament. So I was able to visit with Coach Kennedy, the ladies coach, for about a half hour in the lobby as I was studying. I ended up running into some of the men's players and, you know, just asking them, hey, y'all, when y'all going to put it together? And they're like, I know, you know, we are. They believe, they know it's just a matter of time for them. They're too talented. Both of those rosters are too talented. So Carey has got another old saying, saving the best for last. Well, that's what the schedule makers at the Southern States did this year. Of all the quirkiness of the schedule, you talk about getting it right for William Carey in terms of rivalry games the last week with so much on the line for both teams. But I think, let me give you this scenario here, Caleb, a simple scenario. You need to win. Cary's got 7 losses overall. They've got a good RPI, but it's something you told me, you know, not on the podcast, but just in a phone conversation a couple of weeks ago, just total number of losses on your resume. So Cary needs to stay away from losses. If they are able to get into a 1-4-5 matchup with the bye and they can win that game, they would go into the semifinals of the Southern States with a 22-7 record.
That's pretty good.
I think 22-8 in this league is good enough potentially to get an at-large bid. And I think they would have a very strong case for an at-large bid at that point. So Cary needs to get hot, win 3, get to the semis, and then just, you know, play in a sense with nothing to lose. But I obviously still playing for an at-large berth. Nothing's guaranteed depending on how upsets happen and so forth. But that's my opinion. Do you think Cary men's basketball would have a strong case in an at-large berth with a top 25 RPI at that point?
Well, and here's what it boils down to. Semis. I like it if Cary can win out, because you would have, though it's not an official bid, getting a Western Division crown, it would mean that you toppled Mobile and Loyola to finish up your regular season, meaning that when or if you take a loss in the conference tournament, then that 8th loss is not as bad because it's a conference tournament. Everybody's going to get an extra loss except for one team. Now, if you get 2 losses, and one of them's to either Mobile or Loyola, and then you take your conference tournament loss as well, if that loss is early, that looks a little worse, if you will. So you would end up with 9 losses on the year, and that's a little harder to say, yeah, they deserve an at-large bid. So I really do think that one of 2 things. Either it's going to take Cary winning out this regular season, and you know the conference tournament is kind of a null and void point, or if they split over this week, and you would hope, I really don't know which split is better or worse, but if you split, then I do think you have to make a little bit of a conference tournament run, at least 1 win, maybe 2. And heck, if you get 2, that means you're in the championship game. And depending on who you play, then that could be an automatic berth in and of itself. But it's tight. Let's just put it that way. It is really tight.
It is very
that fine
tight.
Line. Just because, I mean, think about it. William Cary last year in the women's basketball tournament, they faced Bruton Parker, who was a team on the outside looking in. They get an upset win over the Crusaders, and the next thing you know, they're one of the last teams in the national tournament. So it proves to me that, according to the NAIA, conference tournaments still matter. It's not all decided at the end of the regular season who's going to make it in, excluding the automatic berths from tournament winners. And so if Cary splits, or even if they win and it still takes a little bit more of a resume boost, a conference tournament win or 2 is big in the eyes of the tournament placement team.
This men's league, in particular the East Division of the Southern States Athletic Conference, is really good.
Oh, did you see this, by the way? We talk about Dalton State and Life being the top of the East, and they were in the battle for the automatic berth. Did you know they are the final game of the regular season, Dalton State versus Life?
Perfect.
I mean, who doesn't love that drama?
Yeah, and look, let's go over to back to the women's bracket. William Cary, not a vetted host site, Clinton Gymnasium. Cary did not bid for women's basketball because of that, or partly because of that. So Cary is wanting every single RPI advantage they can have and resume builder, if you will, that they can, to be able to get a number 1 seed. And I say a number 1 seed, there will be 16 host sites. They want to be the top rated team at a host site, but that means that the host is going to be a 2 or a 3 seed. Will be the 2nd or 3rd highest team in that 4-team bracket. So a lot for the ladies to play for. I do think the ladies feel as if, though, they've got some unfinished business at the tournament. They have not played a ton of games, it feels like, over. They're only going to have a 25-game regular season. I think they're fresh. I think they're I think that they're going to have plenty of fuel in the tank, so to speak. And I'm excited to see how they play this week going into the tournament.
Absolutely. And you know, find a little bit of news because of results outside of William Carey and what they've done on the hardwood. Both teams get the bye through Wednesday, and then will start their first tournament game on Thursday at the Crempton Bowl Multiplex there in Montgomery, Alabama. So good news for Carey. They can get past one day automatically, and they will go on to the final 3 days of the tournament, hoping they get to play all 3 days in those. So that is a good basketball conversation. When we come back, a little bit of championship talk that we have buried the lead on. That and more coming up next as Crusader Talk continues. Stay with us.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, good show for us on the day. We've talked everything from baseball, softball, both men's and women's basketball. Now to cover up a little bit of our bases here, no pun intended, you know, for the baseball conversation earlier, but hey, we've got a conference championship to talk about as the Lady Crusaders from indoor track and field take home their fourth consecutive SSAC indoor championship. Coach Ryan McKenzie and company, congratulations on that feat. They continue their winning ways. And I tell you what, we should have been able to link up with Coach McKenzie prior to this, but hopefully we'll get a word with him before they move on in their season, as it'll be a big year yet again for this track and field team as they try to go all the way to the NAIA outdoor championship eventually. But in the meantime, they have had a really good SSAC showing. They're going to have an indoor national championship event coming up February 27th. So we'll look forward to hopefully talking with Coach McKenzie ahead of that one. Sorry, about dancing around on all of that. Men's team did fairly well as well. Josh, what was the final result in that one, if you remember off the top of your head?
Yeah, the men finished second.
That's right.
Men's track and field championships.
Yeah, so they finish up second. And out of those six spots for the girls, they finish in the number one slot. SSAC Men's Indoor Track and Field Championship went to Life, by the way, in case you were curious. So as we continue on, just kind of looking ahead at our schedule for this week, got it loaded down with baseball and softball, in addition to all those basketball games that we talked about that are going to be so key. But up first, it'll be softball traveling to Spanish Fort, Alabama for a doubleheader on Tuesday. Men will also travel on the road for the midweek against Dillard in New Orleans. Then it's the big time week action as William Carey hosts Mobile in a doubleheader of basketball Thursday night at home. Get there to Clinton Gym, and you, yes, you, the one listening to this podcast right now, you've still got time to make your plans. Put them down in pen. Put down the pencil, write it in pen. You are going to be at Clinton Gym for William Carey against Mobile, both men and women, because both of them matter, because the girls are looking for an undefeated regular season. Guys are trying to win out to win the West. So that is what's at stake there. Then as we move on into the weekend, Friday, it is Carey softball traveling to Mobile for a doubleheader, and then they'll take on Loyola the following day in New Orleans. Men's team of baseball hosting Middle Georgia State for a doubleheader Friday, 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock, the times on that, and then 1 o'clock Saturday as well. Also, Nash's birthday is Saturday. How about that? So he'll get a double dose of William Carey baseball.
Happy birthday early to Nash.
Yeah. Couldn't come soon enough. He's already in terrible twos mode as a 1.5 or whatever age you want to call it. Now 23-month-old. So
well, happy we're to still get the 2 celebrating months. Yeah, yesterday was the 4-month birthday for Mr. Micah. 4 months.
There you
so
go.
We're celebrating different milestones. We're still in months.
Yeah, what milestone has he gotten to so far?
Oh goodness, we're into, you know, we're learning that our hands work. We've got body control, we've got head control, we're doing new things in terms of, you know, smiling and facial expressions and all that stuff. You know, just reactions are speeding up to everything, and movements and quick turns and so forth. So yeah, I don't know what the markers are, but I just know that it's something new every day. And so for our little bald-headed kiddo, he's like, in the last 3 or 4 days, he's become a chia pet. Hair. It's like, oh, man, hey, you're growing hair. That's a good thing.
Ours was so weird. It started off so dark, and Hannah and I are both fairly light-haired and light-complected, and we're like, where did this come from? Then it all fell out, and it turned blonde, blondish red.
There you go.
So,
yeah, there you go.
It happens. Let's talk about big performances on the week. As far as Kerry baseball is concerned, you heard Coach talk about Bradley Thomas and his good week out there on the diamond. Got a couple more stolen bases added to his career, and as well as the season. He's now batting .448. And in the weekend, he went a grand total of 5 for 8. So I will give my male Crusader honor of the week to Bradley Thomas for a job well done. Now, 14 of 14 in stolen bases, as you heard us talk about with Coach Hallford earlier today. And then on the women's side, Josh, kind of thinking maybe how the women's basketball or softball, which one maybe are you leaning towards?
You're thinking about indoor track. I think
that's true. Yeah.
Cap to the entire indoor track ladies team for capturing another championship.
That's true. Had a good couple of individual performances in that one as well. And we may get to hear about those from Coach Ryan McKenzie next time that we get him on the podcast. As Kerry takes that one over there in Gainesville, Florida, they got 238 points. Next closest team was Life, who had 200. And, boy, you had just stellar performances. You had William Kerry grabbing 3 of the top 4 spots in the long jump. Always been a good event for Kerry. As Fabiana Morales won with 5.78 meters. And she also broke the record in the SSAC high jump with 1.62 meters. She also claimed the triple jump at 12.56. Seems like Morales was the one that may, if you had to point out an individual, get Crusader of the Week honors. But we'll give it to the whole women's indoor track and field team on their SSAC crown. Well, that's another podcast in the book for us. Our appreciation to Ben Milam and Coach Bobby Hall for joining us earlier on in the show. For Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamill. Until next time, good night, God bless, go Saters.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.